Gildea's house with Brad Nortman and is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better, begins now. We'll spend some time discussing the Packers offseason. And let's start. First of all, I never got your answer. Are the Packers still we, even though you played for the Jaguars and the Panthers? Where are we at on that?
It slips, Jason. It still slips. I try to refer to them as the Packers, be a little bit objective, but that deep, deep fanhood that grew out of a young boy growing up in this state, it's hard to shake. And yes, I like to see the Packers do well. Find myself rooting for them for sure. So I'll be honest. I try to refer to them as them and the Packers, but we pops up more often than I'd like to admit, which maybe isn't too bad.
Well, so then how do you feel about your team's offseason? Because free agency, for all intents and purposes, it's now just bargain bin shopping, right? Mecole Hardman being among them. But they signed two guys early on in the free agency process, gave a lot of money to Aaron Banks, gave less money but still meaningful money to Nate Hobbs. So they've added a guard. They've added a nickelback slash potentially outside corner. But they have watched three corners leave in free agency, and Jair Alexander is either getting traded or released, I think. Again, I'm leaving open the small possibility that he's back, but I don't see that happening. They moved on from their starting center. There's a lot more departures for minimal money, I might add, than there are additions. So for you and your team, Brad, how do you feel about where the offseason stands?
Jason, I just feel like it's status quo. I feel like Goody doubled down on his approach. We had a lot of airtime talking about Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. A little bit of pie in the sky, DK Metcalf and Trey Hendrickson. That didn't happen and most likely will not happen. Even a little bit of Cooper Kupp and just things that we feel like, man, this would go out of the Packers' normal mode of operation. And I think it would move the needle. And obviously those never came into fruition. And I'm just reminded that the Green Bay Packers, Brian Gutekunst particularly, he has a system. He has a formula. And it will take a lot to make him deviate from that formula and from that track that he believes so deeply in. So it's draft and develop. It's going to be I feel like we say this every year, but this has to be the most important draft of Brian Gutekunst's tenure, because he clearly believes that is the, maybe not even primary, might not even be strong enough of a word, the primary way to build the roster is through the draft. And if he is going to contend that the window to win a championship is now, then those guys that you draft, they need to be immediate starters. They need to be immediate contributors. Mm-hmm. Because what I saw at a free agency, look, I'm never going to argue or complain about the offensive line improving. It's critical. One of the most important position groups on any given team. And there was a need for a cornerback. So, again, like the signings were, I understand them. I guess I'm surprised there wasn't more and more holes weren't filled, because here's my concern. You now put yourself in a position, being Brian Gutekunst, where you still have holes on your roster. You're still looking for a number one wide receiver. At a minimum, you need more depth there. You probably need an impact player on the defensive line. You need at least one, probably two cornerbacks, and that's just not to take advantage of any other best available that might become available when you pick. I feel like Brian Gutekunst has sort of painted himself into a corner to where he's going to need to draft for need. He's going to need to draft an edge rusher. He's going to need to draft a wide receiver. All of those things early, in order to maintain relevance in the NFC, and it might put him in a position where he needs to reach, or maybe puts him in a position where he needs to trade up to go get somebody. So I don't like that level of desperation that maybe he's going to be forced to operate with when the draft comes around in Green Bay in 1 month from today, which is pretty awesome. So I don't know. When talking about the Packers in general, are the moves solid? They're solid. Signing Banks, the guard, and Hobbs, the cornerback, I think they're anywhere. It's probably B to B-plus moves, helps the team. Those position groups got better. But I look at it on a relative basis. to the Bears, to the Vikings, who have been, both the Bears and the Vikings have been incredibly active in free agency. And the Lions, they don't really need to do a whole lot. They've got all pros all over the board. They just lost their coaches. So on a relative basis, do I think the Packers improved in the NFC North and the NFC in general? I don't think they did. And this was for a team that was a seventh seed that lost in the first round. So to have that championship window be so open and have that, you know, that sense of urgency that he talked about when the season was over, I don't know if I see that sense of urgency in free agency.
We'll get further into that because, as we discussed on your show, while I thought that if you were going to call out your players to show a greater sense of urgency, that you would also look in the mirror and say, I also need to show more urgency, I don't think that's what happened with Goody. I don't think he believes that, because I think he believes that when GMs act in an urgent manner, they make mistakes. So that is not a criticism. That's just a reality, in my opinion, with him. We'll get into that. I also, you said something really interesting there, which kind of ties into a story that I did on channel3000.com for our Sunday read. And that is, let's do away with this concept that it's take the best player available. Just not buying it in the draft. It is filling needs with guys that you need to play right away, and then you're probably not going to re-sign most of them, which is what the numbers start to indicate with the Packers. We'll get into that as well. We need Tausch to tell us about his love of Coors Light before we get back to more with our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Brad Nortman. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold at only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Brad Nortman, our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. A lot of reaction in the YouTube comments, where Jesse does occasionally offend people by calling them dwellers. The round table has not caught on, though. And Jesse's right about that. No one considers it the YouTube round table.
I'm open to suggestions if you can come up with a better one, but the round table is just not it. John or whoever came up with that, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, it's fair. And look, I think there's also, and Brad, you know, obviously you having played in the league for a long time, you know how the league works. First of all, Goody is more, I've said this from the very beginning, Goody is far more Ted Thompson than he is Ron Wolf. He believes in draft and develop, and then move on from many of those draft picks, the John Runyons, who in past eras may have merited a second contract. But for him, he said it, 1.6 players per draft on average get a second contract. And right now, based on 2020 and 2021, he's below that at one. Jordan Love, Isaiah McDuffie right now on that list from his era. And only five players since he took over have gotten those contracts. You can read about that at channel3000.com. But I agree with him. If you look at this free agency class, there was no Xavier McKinney to go sign. There was no Josh Jacobs to sign. And you don't want him, you don't want to be raising off-season championship banners. Oh, we spent the most cap space. Like, the Bears have won a lot of those titles, and they're still wandering in the wilderness. Now, could that change this year? Absolutely it could, right? They solidified the interior of their offensive line in front of a quarterback that they used the number one overall pick on. So they did some things that they needed to do. They hired a new – all those things could pan out for them. But I don't think the Packers were in a position where they needed to just spend money willy-nilly. They do have to count on the Dontavian Wickses and the Jaden Reeds and even the Romeo Dobbses, if he's healthy and he decides to come to work every week. They need those guys to make a jump. They need Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker and Carl Brooks to make big jumps. They need LVN to play like a first-round pick, which has not happened. And to your point, Brad, we don't have a lot of evidence to say that is definitely going to happen. But those are all things that they need to have happen if they're going to get to a Super Bowl. And that's a lot to put on those players with those expectations.
Yeah, and Jason, don't you think, because that's what I hear, that's what I hear from coaches, from Goody himself, that's even what we talk about on a daily basis, is how many guys that are young, because outside of Jordan Love and Isaiah McDuffie, those 2020 and 2021 drafts, that should be the core of your team right now, right? Like, you look at the Lions and the Eagles and the teams that are contenders, the core superstars of their team are from those drafts. So the fact that Goody did not hit those, except for maybe the most important position in Jordan Love, it's making for a tilted young team and for this narrative that we have to see step forwards from, I mean, you listed a bunch of guys, but there's probably 7 to 8 players where you could say, he's got to take a step. He's got to take a step. We need to see more out of him. Don't you think that Goody is maybe placing too much weight, risk, however you want to put it, in relying on those guys taking the next step? That's a lot to lean and put the weight of your season on, is just saying, okay, all these second, third, and fourth year guys, this is the time we need to take the step forward. That concerns me going into the year, because at some point, most of these guys are who they are. Yes, there's Zach Bonds of the world who are solid linebackers that become all pro, right, with a new team and a new system, mm-hmm. like he did from, you know, going to the Philadelphia Eagles, former Wisconsin Badger. My concern going into this year is, how am I supposed to project that all these guys are going to take a step forward and catapult the Packers to the top of the NFC? That just concerns me.
Yeah, and again, you can only sign the players that are available. And Xavier McKinney had no business being on the market. And you got him, and he was a game changer for you. Nate Hobbs, like, that could turn out to be a fantastic signing, but it certainly isn't the kind of stuff to get your fan base excited. Certainly Aaron Banks signing a left guard, that people don't get excited about that. People get excited about trades for DK Metcalf. But that doesn't mean what gets people excited is what's best for your team. So I am going to give Goody some grace and somewhat of a pass to see how this works out. But he needs to have another strong... He's put himself in a position where he has to have really his fourth straight strong draft. Because if you look at what they've done, and look, the 2020 and 21 drafts, you can say till the cows come home that, well, we don't believe, you know, it's a different era. We don't re-sign everybody like we used to during Ted or during Ron's career. And he's right, and that's what the point of my story was. But at the same time, they're not all just guys that were good, but we didn't want to re-sign them guys. Like, some of them were just flat-out misses. Like, picking a running back in the second round like you did with A.J. Dillon, and we all love A.J. Dillon. He married a Green Bay girl. He's the mayor of Door County. All those, I mean, does great things in the community. He had an opportunity to become the number one running back. They did everything they could to make him the number one running back instead of Aaron Jones. And it didn't happen. And so that's a premium draft pick. You drafted a center and had the better center drafted the very next pick in Creed Humphrey in Josh Myers. I love Josh Myers as a guy. Like, if he was available to be a Cousins sub of the day, I would want to bring him in during Tausch's sabbatical. But Did he play at an elite level at center? The Pro Football Focus grades would indicate no. So there's a lot of, you know, Jace Sternberger instead of Terry McLaurin. And I know every GM has those types of picks. I get it. But the hit rate, not as high. And now he's had a great hit rate of late, right? I mean, the 2022 draft. Think about the roles these guys play in this team. Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Sean Ryan, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Kingsley Enagbare, Rashid Walker. All those guys are either starters or de facto starters. Like, I would argue Kingsley Enagbare is a better player than LVN right now. So you put that draft, you got a lot of guys, you got to figure out what you're going to do there. The 23 draft, we don't know about Lucas Van Ness, what he's going to become. Luke Musgrave's been hurt a ton. We think Jaden Reed is going to be a good player. He's shown those moments. We think Dontavian Wicks can be a good player. We think Tucker Kraft is clearly a stud. That was a really good third-round pick. And then last year, you had three rookies on defense who all contributed in Edgerrin Cooper, in Evan Williams, and in Javon Bullard. And there's other guys that didn't next to nothing last year that you now need to have productive second seasons. To your point, though, Brad, that's putting a lot on all those draft classes plus this one to get you where you want to go. And that may not be realistic.
Yeah, and Jason, I look at this next draft class, and I want to ask you this question. If the Packers are going to be contenders in the NFC in 2025, let's say a top three NFC team, right? How many starters does Goody need to draft in this upcoming draft?
We will explore that. Do you have a number in mind when you ask that question?
I have a number, but I'm curious on your number.
All right. We will get into that as we roll on with Brad Nortman as our cousin sub of the day. I managed to make a GIF, by the way. I'm kind of proud of this because we don't have the Twitter video feed up today. So I just tweeted out the YouTube links, and I did make a GIF of the fake punt that we always hear Sean McDonough on the call. Great call and great execution! So that's there as well on social media, so you can find that. We will talk more Packers offseason with Brad Nortman after Tausch tells us about American Family Insurance. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, Packer fans, dreaming of the ultimate draft day experience? Well, the American Family Insurance Dream Draft Sweepstakes is your chance to win a VIP trip to the NFL Draft in Green Bay. Imagine this. You and a guest could score exclusive tickets, hotel accommodations, custom merchandise, and more. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you don't want to miss. Head over to amfam.com/packers and enter today. That's amfam.com/packers. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the state of Wisconsin, 21 years of age or older. Enter by 11:59 Central Time on March 24th. See official rules at amfam.com/packers.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Take my heart, don't break.
Brad Nortman, our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. All right, Brad, what was your question again for those that weren't tuned in? Unlike Tausch, I was listening, so I remember it. But for everyone's edification, share it again.
I would love to, Jason. So my question was, in the 2025 draft, for the Packers to be true Super Bowl contenders in the NFC, so I would say a top three NFC team, how many starters does Brian Gutekunst have to draft in the 2025 draft for them to do that? And I think of a starter, not like, I mean, I love special teams, but I'm not thinking like a special team starter. I'm talking about offense, defense, the guy's getting 80%+ of the snaps, and not even going as far as saying he needs to be like a stud, like a Pro Bowl stud right away, but a legitimate starter where he makes plays, he's not an ongoing liability, and he is a contributor, a positive contributor to this team. How many starters does Goody need a draft in this upcoming draft?
So let's go position by position, because that's what I did during the break in my brain. Okay. They have their starting quarterback. Check. They Done. Have their starting running back, and they look, they really like Emmanuel Wilson, and they're really intrigued by what Marshawn Lloyd can do. So check, right?
Yep,
at wide there. Receiver, I know they don't have a clear-cut number one, but I think Goody really thinks that this is the year for Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks to become really, really good players. We'll see if he's right or wrong, but they did not make the leap that I'm sure Goody or I expected. But I don't think they need to draft a starting wide receiver. I don't. You may disagree. Do you disagree?
I do disagree for a couple of reasons. One is I'm a little concerned about, again, relying on these guys to collectively take a step forward. Now, I like Jaden Reed. I think Romeo Doubs is pretty consistent when he's there physically and mentally. Mm. And Dontavian Good Wicks, we see flashes, but I don't know if I trust Dontavian Wicks to be a reliable number three. And we know Christian Watson is going to be out for a while. So wide receiver is one for me where I think you got to draft a guy that's going to be, you know, wide receiver one, two, or three. And
so if he's three, do you think of him as a, because I agree with you. So I don't think our disagreement is as vast. Yeah. I don't think they have to draft the number one guy that walks in as the number one wide receiver. Like if they trade up from 23, but I think they need a guy that's going to fill the void created by Christian Watson's injury and a guy that contributes immediately at that position. So whether that's a second or third round pick, I do believe they have to draft one. So I don't disagree yes. with you there.
And maybe we're splitting in hairs on what a starter is. But to me, and I'll go as far as saying this. Yes, they have to draft a guy that would be a top two wide receiver on the team.
Okay.
That maybe that I mean, Romeo Doubs or Jaden Reed, whoever you want to put as maybe the number one right now, I would probably lean to Jaden Reed. But the reality is, too, Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, they're going into their last year
Correct.
Of their contracts. So in the same way, Goody's thinking about the offensive line, how you got three of five starters that are going to be, you know, needing a contract or walking.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's the same thing with wide receivers, because if those guys leave and you haven't filled it this year, then you are really depleted going forward.
So we kind of agree, splitting hairs at wide receiver. They don't need to draft a starting tight end. I think they've got two starting caliber tight ends, but there's a big question mark with Luke Musgrave. I don't care that he's not a great blocker like Tucker Kraft is. What I want him to be, if I'm a Packers fan, is a guy that catches a ton of balls.
Yep.
And he has to stay healthy in order to be able to do that. The offensive line, I don't think they need to draft an immediate starter, but again, to your point, 60% of the current starting offensive line is a free agent after the season. So that may not be they need a starter today, but are they going to re-sign Sean Ryan? Again, going back to my Channel 3000 story, I'm guessing probably not. So they're going to be replenishing their depth there. And whether Travis Glover or Jacob Monk from last year's draft are ready to be starters if somebody gets hurt, that's another question here. So that is a place that I think they will expend multiple draft picks. Now let's go to the defensive side of the ball. They have invested heavily in the defensive line. They've drafted LVN. They've drafted Rashawn Gary. They've drafted Devontae Wyatt. They've drafted and signed to two subsequent contracts, Kenny Clark. And that group wasn't good enough last year. And we can blame the new system and everything else, but the bottom line is it wasn't good enough. They had to use smoke and mirrors to generate a pass rush. This is the problem with drafting 23rd and not having someone in free agency that filled that void. They need a starter. They let TJ Slayton walk in free agency. I don't have a problem with that, but they clearly need a starter there. So we can be muddling around on the wide receiver question. This one, I would argue, is a no-brainer, is it not?
No-brainer for sure. This one was the first one I wrote down, to be quite honest, is need on the defensive line. And you can shift it around how you want to. D-end, D-tackle. I'd probably say D-end is maybe more of a need, unless you really see that jump in Lucas Van Ness or Rashawn Gary also takes that jump. But It was too glaring of a need throughout the year. And the inability to get a rush with four, we see how critical that is in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So this one is obvious to me, and it makes me a little sick if I was a Packer fan too. And I don't want to like disparage the guys that are on the team, but if you are putting, it's almost like when you have a house that's sort of a money pit, you just keep on putting more and more and more resources into it, and you're just not seeing the return. So the idea that Goody's going to have to spend another first-round draft pick, likely or probably, on D-line when you already have three guys that are first-round draft picks and a couple guys that are, you know, signed to a third contract, a second contract. If these guys were just to perform to the level of their investment, we wouldn't have this conversation.
Nope.
But because they haven't, you just got to keep throwing money and keep throwing resources at it, which drives me a little crazy, but you got to address the need if it's a need, and it's a need.
Yeah. So then we go to linebacker, which is not as important of a position as it used to be in a 3-4, plus those guys that were outside linebackers are now defensive ends. But look, they got two guys that they think are really good players. I would argue, and I'm getting some pushback in the YouTube comments, I thought Quay Walker turned a corner last year, and then he got hurt in Seattle. But I thought he turned a corner. Now, was it a huge corner to where he's now an all-pro level player? No. I'm not saying that. But is he a decent NFL starter? Yes. And was his arrow finally pointing in the right direction? Is he in a system where I think he can be better? Was he running around holes instead of filling them as often last year as he was in the 3-4 under Joe Barry? No. So I think there are encouraging signs from him. And we obviously know Edgerrin Cooper is a natural playmaker. Mm-hmm. We saw that from him as a rookie. And Isaiah McDuffie is a solid, consistent glue guy that you know as well as anyone, having played in the NFL, you need those type of guys. So I think, again, if we're talking about starters for 2025, I don't think they need to draft a linebacker. But they got to figure out how good is Quay Walker, because that fifth-year option is an astronomical number.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't think they want to pay him that. For one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And it's going to be hard to figure out what the future of Quay Walker looks like, because you do see flashes. And I actually think with this linebacker room, I always try to think of the side of the ball as if, like, so in this situation, if I'm an opposing offense and I'm trying to scout the Packers and I'm trying to look at the depth chart, look at the players and circle the guys. Hey, we got to stop this guy and we got to stop this guy. This guy can't make plays. With the emergence of Edgerrin Cooper, that's who the teams are going to be focusing on. And I think Cooper is still going to get his. So I think with Isaiah McDuffie being sort of the veteran, right place, right time, stable, plus playmaker and Edgerrin Cooper, I think it frees up Quay Walker to be more of the X factor, to be more of the guys mm-hmm. that won't be focused on when it comes to game planning, blocking, all that kind of stuff. And it could actually allow him to be the best version of himself. So I actually like the room. I'm surprised I'm saying that, but I think you're right. The emergence of Quay Walker plus how the room is crafted, I think they're in a pretty good spot at linebacker, at least for this year. At least for this year.
And I would still argue that you need a guy like Eric Wilson, veteran guy, yes. consistent on special teams. Dude started 12 games, made a ton of plays. Like, I understand he's 30, but he wouldn't have cost you much. He went to the Vikings. I would predict he will help the Vikings. Again, he's not Ray Lewis, but there are value in those type of guys, and apparently Goody and I disagree on that. All right, quickly, the safety position is covered. You drafted Agreed. Three of them last year, and you got Xavier McKinney in free agency. But the corner position, look, I am a Keyshawn Nixon guy. He has become one of my guys. I love his brashness. He's like the anti-Wildy when it comes to like cockiness. And I love that about him. I wish I could be like him. And he's a straight shooter, man. Like, he has no filter. Like, I want to be CB1. I'm not returning kicks no more. Like, I enjoy him thoroughly. And I do think, in fairness to him, he proved that he is more than just a kick returner. He is more than just a slot guy. He can be a good outside corner. But if, and Keyshawn, if you're listening, take this as a challenge. When I think of shutdown corners, you got a little more to prove before I'm willing to say, yeah, this guy's a CB1. And you can rub it in my face, and I know you will, when I'm wrong. And you have six picks, and you show that you are a number one corner. And I would say this about Keyshawn. I wouldn't bet against him. Because think about, I mean, he was a nobody in Vegas. Like, they had no idea what they had in him. He came here. The Packers didn't know what they had him either, right? I mean, then they finally give him the kick return job halfway through the 22 season, and he's an all-pro. 23, he's an all-pro returner, and he's a really top-flight interior cover guy in the slot. And then last year, Jeff Hafley sees him as being able to play outside, and with all the time Jair missed, he was their CB1. So I challenge him to be even better. If you're going to be that lockdown guy, that's a big ask. They've signed Nate Hobbs. They feel really good about Carrington Valentine, who is a seventh-round pick who could end up, as I've said, in the Tausch Donald Driver pantheon of great seventh-round picks. With all that said, they need to draft a starting corner. Agree or disagree?
Agree, right there, too. So that will bring my number to three. Three total starters, which is a lot. That's a lot of starters to be on a
right
potential.
Right away.
Ability to play at the NFL level right away, because I'm right there with you. I mean, I love, it's, you know, you talk about Keyshawn Nixon, his brashness. I don't know if I would call him a great cornerback. I think he's good. Mm-hmm. But what I do like is every good to great cornerback that I've ever met, college or NFL, they have a almost an irrational sense of self that's, you know, that's bloated and ego and all that kind of stuff. And, like, unfailingly, every great corner I've ever interacted with had that. This high degree in confidence in self that almost borders lines on irrationality. So I like that when I hear that about Nixon, because it's such a hard position to defend a wide receiver who knows the route they're going to run. You need to have almost a level of irrational sense of self to be able to do that and do that at a high level. So with all that being said, you got to remember, I know Jair Alexander was inconsistent with availability. That's just the best way I can put it. But dude was an all-pro corner consistently for the years he was fully healthy, and when he was mentally engaged and when he was physically available, he was still great. So it's not like the room is in neutral. You're likely going to lose Alexander, putting you a step back. Mm-hmm. You sign Hobbs, which gets you closer to where neutral is, but I don't think Hobbs and Alexander is a one-for-one trade. So I think when you look at this, I think you're right. You got to draft a cornerback who is going to be capable of being a year one starter. So for me, it's wide receiver, D-line, cornerback, guys that need to be starters, and like names that Packer fans would know by week eight. Like, oh, that's the guy they drafted. I've seen him make plays. I like him. That we need that narrative midway through the season for three positions. So Goody, I mean, challenge extended for the 2025 draft.
And let's be honest, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You miss on Eric Stokes. You draft him in the first round. He should be a guy that is a starter for a first and second contract. He didn't get the fifth-year option. He leaves after 4 years. Now, look, he did not sign a big contract with the Raiders. So he had a one-year prove-it deal. So he's got to prove it now to the entire NFL that he is as good as his draft status. But when you miss, that puts pressure on you elsewhere. We just talked about the defensive line, all those first-round picks, and we're still saying they have to invest in the defensive line? You
crazy.
Just you can't have that. That's what happens, and that's what makes it challenging to build your roster. All right, we're talking about the draft. There are some other interesting little tidbits, including where Goody was over the weekend at a pro day, that would lend credence to something Brad Nortman just said. We will get to that coming up. But speaking of the draft, Verizon is giving you the chance to win the ultimate draft experience with the Road to the Draft sweepstakes. 10 lucky winners will win tickets to the first day of the 2025 NFL Draft right here in Green Bay, including round-trip car service from Milwaukee, hotel accommodations, plus access to the Verizon viewing zone where you'll be taken care of like a first-round pick. Don't miss your chance to win the ultimate draft experience powered by Verizon. Hurry to select Verizon locations. I don't think I'm eligible because I'm voicing this, but Paula needs a new SIM card, so we are actually headed to the Verizon in Green Bay today. You can enter there. You have to be entered by April 13th. So, again, it is the ultimate draft experience with the Road to the Draft sweepstakes. You can be one of those 10 lucky winners. You just got to go to one of the Verizon locations before April 13th to enter. Now, here's the legal fine print. No purchase necessary to enter. Must be legal U.S. resident of Wisconsin or Illinois, age 21 years or older to enter. Void where prohibited. For official rules and full details, visit ESPNWisconsinContest.com. Always wanted to do that. We will continue with Brad Nortman. I will tell you the little tiny tidbit that may lend credence to ending the drought of first-round wide receiver draft picks. We'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
If they're not better this year,
because we're on Wisconsin sports,
there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. Got no reason not to celebrate.
So, Brad Nortman, our cousin sub of the day, you are well acquainted with the fact that the Packers have not drafted a wide receiver in the first round since 2002. Jesse was alive. He was a little tiny person, little toddler person. Well, maybe a little bit older than that. But Jordan Reed of ESPN, he's one of the draft analysts for ESPN, reported that the only NFL GM that was at Arizona's pro day, which included Tetaroa McMillan, who is one of the few wide receivers with a first-round grade. The fact that Goody was there might mean nothing, right? Might mean nothing. He goes to a lot of pro days. He is one of those GMs. He's like a old-school scout like Ted. He wants to go to as many pro days on campus as he can. So maybe that's nothing, but maybe that's something. And McMillan is one of the, I think, three wide receivers that our favorite NFL draft analyst and someone who I think we're still waiting for Tausch to fully apologize to, Mel Kiper, has as a first-round pick. Could this be the year? And could McMillan be the guy that replaces Javon Walker in the history books and finally ends that? Because if they do that, then they clearly agree with you, Brad. They need a starting wide receiver from this draft.
Yeah, Jason, I know you're close with everyone in Green Bay, people in the organization. You need to contact the Green Bay Packer Pro Shop and tell them to start making room for that jersey, because darn it, this is the year. I've been saying this on KBN. Maybe I'm just trying to will it to happen, and maybe it's just wishful thinking, but I think this is the year that Goody actually does draft a wide receiver one in the first round, and this is just another reading of the tea leaves, so to speak, to where, I mean, he's the only GM there. He must know that this is going to send messages down there, because it's one thing to invite, you know, these couple of DNs that came in for the official visits for the Green Bay Packers last week, so that maybe leads you to believe that maybe they're interested in a D lineman. But to fly all the way from Green Bay to Arizona, you don't just do that for the sun in March. You do that because you're doing your homework on a guy that I believe there's a handful of guys, him included, that had that, you know, that rare first round grade. I just think that, look, I know, kind of joking aside, I know that this goes against Goody's belief system. I know he said, you know, I believe it was the combine, they don't have some sort of deep-seated belief that you just don't take wide receivers in round one, but he just never felt like the value was there. Totally understand that. I just think this is year three for Jordan Love as a starter. And it's year two of making big money on that second contract. I don't think this team, Jordan Love or Goody himself, want to see another season where Jordan Love isn't a top 10 quarterback, doesn't have plenty of weapons to his disposal, and isn't making subtle, very Jordan Love-esque comments after one of the games where he said the receivers need to win their one-on-one battles. I mean, that's about as far as Jordan Love could ever get in criticism, I would imagine, because he's a very upstanding man, so it seems. I don't know him, but that's what it seems like. It just seems to me
upstanding that, man.
Yeah, yeah. You could comment on that more than I could, but
he does seem like a good guy and a good teammate. Yes,
he sure does. He doesn't
an
seem
upstanding
like
man. One could say
an upstanding man. He doesn't.
Or maybe
he doesn't
just Brad.
He doesn't seem like the guy. The guys in the past that would maybe put fellas on blast. We'll put it that way. So I just think that to get you've already solidified the O-line. Great. That means he has time. Still's got to throw it to somebody who is a bona fide number one wide receiver. Nothing can help your quarterback like having a guy like that. I mean, look at the rotation of quarterbacks they have in Minnesota. I mean, they've got it's nice when you have Justin Jefferson that can get space on just about anyone and a brilliant mind in Kevin O'Connell calling the plays. Well, you got that with Matt LaFleur. Just give me that number one wide receiver and Jordan Love. Watch him just like that become the top 10 quarterback, top 5 quarterback maybe, that we've all been waiting for and hoping for.
We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour with upstanding man Brad Nortman as our cousin sub of the day. We'll be back in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.